Welcome to Just a Minute. Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, dynamic personalities who are going to play Just a Minute. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Janie Godley, and seated on my left, Nish Kumar and Marcus Brigstock. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me is it's Hayley Sterling. She's going to help me with the score. She'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And as usual, I'm going to ask them all at different times to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from Edinburgh. It's coming from the Festival Fringe, and we've got a very excited Fringe audience in front of us who've staggered through the rain and the Edinburgh weather to be here. And they're dying for us to get started, aren't they?
Yes!
So we begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, oh, a lovely Scottish Edinburgh subject to begin with, the Royal Mile. Tell us something about that subject in this game, Paul, starting now.
As Queen Victoria made her way round the streets of London in heavy disguise, she travelled about a mile when she found herself in front of the house of her Russian lover. Nikolov Parsons, diplomat, concert pianist, 24-hour plumber, was an extraordinary figure. He was a bitter man back in his homeland. His father had been hung by the Bolsheviks and could no longer find a pair of trousers that would fit him. Her Majesty grabbed him by the hand. The two of them traversed another mile, and then she said to her companion, "Take me to the finest music hall in the capital. I want to see the great Boffo, the magnificent man whose act consists of swallowing household electrical goods years before they've been invented." It was the most extraordinary performance, and the two of them kissed in the moonlight, and they knew that forever they would be in love. This was their story. This was their time.
Well, there was Paul displaying his genius in this game, keeping going with absolutely
nothing.
You get a point for speaking as the whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted. What a way to begin the show. So at the end of that first round, Paul's the only one to get any points, right? Janie Godley, we'd like you to take this next round. The subject now here is writer's block. We know you're a writer, you've written an amazing book, which I've read, and would you tell us something about writer's block in this game, starting now?
Writer's block isn't something I suffer from on a regular basis. For instance, last month when I attended Turnberry Golf Course recently to welcome Mr. Trump to Scotland, my first thought was, what words will I write on the back of the reverse linoleum? Now, I contacted my friends Hunt, Blunt and Cunningham, and they told me that the words I should use must be so wonderful to make sure the presidential candidate shall never forget me, but writer's block struck me at the wrong time. When I took the ink marker from my husband's hand, he likes to collect them, I took it to that piece of...
Marcus challenged.
Repetition of took.
Yes, you took too much, honey.
I'm terribly sorry. I know, it seems a shame, doesn't it, to have interrupted on the basis that there are rules.
Yeah. They were just hoping I was going to tell them what I wrote.
It wouldn't be much of a show if everybody went for 60 seconds without being interrupted, wouldn't it? And she did repeat took, and there's 12 seconds still left. Marcus, you get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject. Writer's block starting now.
I had writer's block once. I climbed up on it and immediately fell off, which meant finishing the thing I was working on was incredibly difficult. What it actually means, of course, is that you get stuck. And...
So Marcus Brigstock was speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point, and he's now got 2 points. Paul's got 2 points. The others have yet to score. And Nish Kumar, we'd like you to begin the next round. There are 60 seconds available if you want it. And the subject is blowing in the wind. 60 seconds if you want it, starting now.
Blowing in the Wind is the title of a song written by Bob Dylan, born Robert Allen Zimmerman in Duluth, Minnesota in 1941. And yes, I do know quite a lot about this subject. It was on his album The Freewheelin', which was his second studio release on Columbia Records. His first had been something of a failure, and many music critics had lined up to dismiss him as being the final folly of John Hammond, legendary music producer and talent spotter who had discovered, amongst others, Billie Holiday. The song is possibly one of Dylan's best known, and it pertains to the
civil... Oh, yes. Marcus, you challenge first.
A small hesitation. A
definite hesitation, yes.
Yes.
Enough to give you the subject and another point and 25 seconds for you on Blowing in the Wind, starting now.
How many roads must a man walk down before you can refer to him as what he's already been called? That is one of the questions raised in the extraordinary piece of work. There are many other questions posed during...
Oh, Nish, you challenge first, yes.
Did he repeat question?
Yes, he did.
Good question.
Right. Yeah!
So you got your first...
I never get these right!
No, you were listening well, and you've got 11 seconds still if you want it. Blowing in the Wind, starting now.
The Freewheeling was Dylan's breakthrough.
Oh, poor challenge.
A repetition of Freewheeling.
Yes, you have. Yes. I know you haven't played the game as much as others.
It's one of those words that comes up in virtually every programme.
So, Paul, a correct challenge, a point to you, 9 seconds available. Blowing in the Wind, starting now.
Other artists helped promote this song. Peter, Paul and Mary had a massive hit single with Blowing in the Wind, and then the Birds came along and...
So, Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, so he gained that extra point for doing so. He's taken the lead. He's one ahead of Marcus Brigstocke and three ahead of Nish Kumar. And then Janie. Right. Marcus... We come to you to begin. Now, this is a subject I'm nervous as an actor of mentioning because there is a great superstition in our profession. You mention Shakespeare's Scottish play and it brings an incredible amount of bad luck. And we're all going to talk on this subject, so we'll wonder what the bad luck will be. Couldn't have more rain, could we? So, Marcus, the subject is Macbeth. Macbeth, you've got 60 seconds if you want it, Marcus, starting now.
Some years ago, the famous baldy Brummy playwright William Shakespeare was charged with the responsibility of creating an exciting...
Oh. Paul, you challenge first.
Oh, that was a bit of a...
And there was a definite...
I noticed it too.
Yes. So, Paul, you've got him with another point with the correct challenge and 51 seconds available. Macbeth, starting now.
As Lady Macbeth said to her husband, "Glamis thou art and Cawdor, and thou shalt be what thou art promised, yet though I fear..."
Marcus, challenge.
A repetition of thou.
Oh, that's Shakespeare's fault. That's not mine.
No.
Marcus, a correct challenge. 43 seconds are still available. Macbeth. Starting now.
The story originally concerned a little girl called Beth, but it was deemed not exciting enough. So instead it was upgraded to be about Macbeth, a Scottish king who plotted to murder and kill and destroy those who stood in his way, much to the delight of his wife, who was extremely keen on raising her position. She was a little bit like Theresa May in some ways, although I am not entirely certain that Theresa May has ever... A repetition of Theresa May, but in some ways, my greatest fear.
Paul, new challenge first.
Yes, repetition of the freewheeling Theresa May.
Yes. So, Macbeth is back with you, Paul. Another point to you, of course. And 15 seconds available, starting now.
Although I studied a play for O-level, it wasn't until I saw the film directed by Roman Polanski the night before the exam when I finally got what the story was all about. Banquo's ghost reappears as a children's entertainer tying up balloons, and the Macbeths are appalled.
So Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. Another lovely Scottish subject, the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, yes, I'm an expert on this.
All right. Well, tell us something about it.
Did a bit of filming up there.
Did you?
Yeah, a bit of filming, yeah.
What's the film? What was it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, ready for this, yeah.
Right.
Bring it on. The freewheeling.
Bring it on. 60 seconds if you want it, starting now.
It doesn't exist.
So, Janie, You've gone in first, Janie.
Yeah, it really does.
Janie, as you're the Scottish representative on the panel, why don't you tell us something about it? Yeah. 57 seconds available if you want it, starting now.
The Loch Ness Monster is actually a woman called Margaret from Easter House. She went for a long swim on a very wet and windy day with a Lilo on her back because her husband Archie and her had a fight in the caravan. Not once did they accept that this marriage was over. She headed into the water with the big thing on her back and she's...
Marcus, you've
changed. I didn't want to interrupt because I was loving that, but a repetition of back.
Yeah, a repetition of the back, yes. So, Marcus, another point to you for a correct challenge. And 34 seconds available, the Loch Ness Monster, starting now.
It's a giant prehistoric beastie that lives beneath the waves and only pops up when incredibly weird people with cameras are nearby who otherwise don't...
A niche challenge.
We are not incredibly weird.
So what is your challenge within the rules of just a minute?
I didn't have a challenge. I was just trying to represent my community.
I thought you meant you were one of the people with a camera there, Nish.
I'm one of the monsters, Nicholas.
You're no monster to us here. You notice when I'm up in Scotland, my Scottish blood comes rushing to the top. And I'm speaking with a Glasgow accent because I did 5 years up here in Glasgow. I did 5 years in Clydebank trying to be an engineer in order to please my family, but I didn't. And that's right. I was with other fellas, I told them that. I was on the big neck, that big guy, back neck.
Nicholas, in Glasgow, that was basically a marriage proposal right there.
Nish, give him a bonus point because we enjoyed that interruption. But he interrupted Marcus, wasn't it? Marcus, you carry on. 25 seconds. The Loch Ness Monster starting now.
It is thought that a Glaswegian dock worker from Clydebank fell into Loch Ness, a man by the name of Nicholas Parsons, and has remained there for hundreds of years, occasionally popping up to mediate on...
Paul, you challenged.
Oh, unfortunately, a bit of a hesitation.
A bit of a hesitation, yes, Paul. Another point to you. 11 seconds available. The Loch Ness Monster starting now.
As I looked into the grinning maw of the horrendous beast, its eyes glowing green, its breath breathing fire, I knew one thing. It didn't exist and it was here.
So, Paul Mutton speaking as it was the win, gained that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Janie, our Scottish representative on the team, has now got a Scottish subject. Janie, it is Ben Nevis. Yay. Tell us something about that mountain in this game, starting now.
Ben Nevis is the highest mountain in the British Isles at 1,346 metres. It's also the name of a pub just off a street where I live. There is a woman who works there and often she makes a summit by climbing on a stool and singing Agadoo, we are bra round her head. People, they love the song. Nobody has ever actually climbed on top of her because that would be wrong. And everybody who's climbed up into...
Oh, Marcus, you challenged first.
Actually, it was repetition of climb, but there was climb and then climbed, so I'm incorrect. I apologise and I withdraw my challenge.
Very generous, yes. It was climb and climbed. So, Janie, you got a point for an incorrect challenge, and you keep the subject, and 30 seconds still available, starting now.
Ben Nevis is a place I've went camping. I hated it. It almost ended a relationship between me and the man that fathered my child. Nobody should be in a tent at any point of their life, especially when the toilets are so far away, you feel as though you're walking back to Glasgow just to have a wee quick look in the loo. I hated the fact that the camping... I interrupted myself.
Marcus, to challenge again.
It was sort of a hesitation and deviation by use of the word.
Right. My brain just went, you've did it again, Janie.
So, Marcus, you have another point. You have 8 seconds still available. Ben Nevis, starting now.
Ben Nevis's lesser-known brother, Colin Nevis, is not as tall as he is, but still just as fun and covered in heather, pebbles, climbers and old sticks.
Right. it's Marcus Bigstock speaking. So Whistle Wind gained the next point. He's creeping up on Paul Merton, who's still in the lead. And then Janie Godley and Nish Kumar are equal in third place. And Nish, we're back with you to begin. Oh, an intellectual subject here. Michelangelo. Can you tell us something about that or him in this game, starting now?
Michelangelo was a celebrated painter from the Renaissance period, but he was also a Teenage Mutant Hero Turtle. Those of you who grew up in the late 80s and early 90s will surely remember the antics of the famous foursome. In fact, for the benefit of the radio listeners, there is a woman on the front row who is dancing along to the theme tune that she is singing in her head right now. The Turtles were a group of mutants.
Oh, Marcus Challenge. Mutant.
No, repetition of turtles.
Oh!
Oh, yes.
Correct.
So, correct challenge to you, Marcus. 36 seconds available. Michelangelo starting now.
Michelangelo's lesser-known brother, Colin Angelo, is not as tall as he is, but just as fun and easily climbable, covered as he is in heather, pebbles and sticks. He wasn't a brilliant painter, but he did some lovely colouring in and very rarely went over the lines, which is to his...
Oh, poor challenge.
Well, I think this is deviation, because we're... I mean, obviously, Colin is a man in his own right, but... But we're talking about Colin Angelo, and it's really Michelangelo.
That's a good point.
Ah, you mean the subject is Michelangelo, and he started talking about Colin.
We had a lot about Colin.
Yeah. Is that,
as
is
much
that,
as it's nice to hear from him. Yeah.
So that was deviation. Well,
I think so.
Listen, yes, you understand the game very well, Paul, after all these years. 20 seconds are available, Paul, on Michelangelo starting now.
Colin Van Gogh turned to his brother and said, Michelangelo, the finest painter.
I was going to say deviation, but I didn't reckon with how quickly you would get back from Colin to Michelangelo.
As Nicholas says, I've played it a few times before.
So an incorrect challenge. He gets another point, but well attempted, Nish. We enjoyed the interruption. And 17 seconds for you, Paul. Michelangelo starting now.
Michelangelo looked out at the top floor of the window where he lived. That doesn't make sense. What do you mean the window where he lived?
Marcus challenge.
Rubbish.
Yeah, deviation.
Absolutely. Nonsense.
More like a hesitation, I'd have
thought.
Absolutely. 12 seconds, Marcus, on Michelangelo starting now.
If you have ever stared up at the roof of the Sistine Chapel, you're doing very well, because it's the ceiling you should be looking at, to be perfectly honest. He did a tremendous job of long brushes, painted it.
So Marcus Brigstock was then speaker's a Whistle when gained the extra point, and he's only 1 point behind our leader Paul Merton, and Janie Godley and Nish Kumar are equal in third place. And Marcus, we're back with you to begin another Edinburgh subject, the tattoo. Tell us something about the tattoo in this game, Marcus, starting now.
The tattoo is a magnificent event that takes place up in the castle here in Edinburgh. If you like seeing bands marching up and down and turning around and going back to where they started whilst also playing instruments, it's absolutely up your street. The most extraordinary number of people gather to see the same thing happen again, and after that several more times in the same way, but also slightly altered, because it attracts different military outfits from around the world who enjoy coming here to Edinburgh nearly as much as I do, although they're not as disrespectful to the locals as I am, risking a lynching by dissing the tattoo, which is easily the most exciting event, apart from the show I'm doing at 9:30, Pleasance Beyond. By the time this is broadcast, I'll have finished, and literally, probably, but not on this minute, which is about the tattoo. I've actually had a tattoo of the Edinburgh tattoo tattooed on my back.
So Marcus Brigstock started with the subject, kept going with delightful innovation and and creation.
I'm going to be killed by military bands from all around the world.
You'll be able to hear them coming, though.
Yes. Yeah.
And you kept going magnificently till the whistle went without being interrupted. So you get a point for speaking when the whistle went. And you get a bonus point because you were not interrupted. And you've taken the lead ahead of Paul Merton. Only 1 point ahead.
No, another risk.
Janie, it's your turn to begin. The subject is spaghetti hoops. Tell us something about spaghetti hoops in just a minute, starting now.
Spaghetti hoops is my favourite dish of pasta. Who doesn't like that in the shape of a ring? You can slip it down your tongue, stick it over your throat, and heat it up in the microwave or put it in a pot. Never before have I tasted such a tomato-y gravy in a round-roundy ling...
Mark, is your chance.
Yeah, that was a mercy buzz.
Why?
On the basis of hesitation.
I don't think there is much I can say about spaghetti hoops anymore. I am absolutely spent on the hoops. That's
right,
it.
OK. Well, Marcus, you're spent, and there are 41 seconds on spaghetti hoops with you, starting now.
I like to arrange my spaghetti hoops into Olympic rings and then try and leap over them. I've only ever managed it once, but it was a hell of an afternoon, and I gave myself a medal made out of another pasta shape. Spaghetti hoops were served to me as a child at school through a funnel, which I enjoyed very much. The...
Nish, challenge first.
Oh, thank God.
So what was your challenge, Nish?
My challenge was hesitation, I believe.
Correct challenge from there, Nish. 19 seconds available. Spaghetti hoops starting now.
I wrote my first novel out of spaghetti hoops. It was the story of a ghost, and it was one long sentence.
Paul, your challenge first.
Yes, it's a repetition of ooh.
Yeah.
Extended vowels. Yeah. You should see a doctor about that.
There's still 9 seconds, Paul.
9 seconds?
Nine.
Brilliant.
Spaghetti Hoops are starting now.
Colin Spaghetti Hoops was a terribly unhappy man. He hated his name. Why couldn't he be like his brother, Michelangelo Spaghetti Hoops, the freewheeling Bob Dylan fan who loved him as a man?
So Paul Merton, speaker of Whistle Wind, gained an extra point, moved 1 point ahead of Marcus Brigstock in that sequence, then Nish Kumar and then Janie Godley. And Nish, we're back with you to begin. Oh, a very intellectual subject. Pavlov's dogs. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Every time someone uses the phrase Pavlov's dog around me, I require a biscuit for reasons that I don't fully understand.
Marcus, you've challenged
first. Yeah, hesitation.
Yeah.
Sorry, hesitation. 51 seconds still available. Pavlov's dogs starting now.
Pavlov's dogs were quite extraordinary. They were different from any other dogs that anyone had ever seen, made as they were of meringue with a soft whipped cream centre and a fruity layer on top, served up to Pavlov on a daily basis. Absolutely delicious they were. And he used to ring a bell every time he fancied one of his meringue dog treats that he'd met.
Oh, yeah. Nish, you can't.
Repetition of meringue?
Yes, too much meringue there. Nish, another point to you. And 28 seconds available. Pavlov's dogs starting now.
Pavlov's dog. The dog of Pavlov.
Paul, you challenge.
Repetition of dog.
Oh, yes, it's dogs on the
meringue. Oh. I thought I was going to exploit a loophole very cleverly.
No. So that was a correct challenge, Paul. You get the subject, you get 24 seconds to tell us something about Pavlov's dogs starting now.
They'd been missing Pavlov now for 5 days. Where was he? Bertie, the lead Labrador, looked round at the others. Something was afoot, but he didn't know what it was. Suddenly Barney stood up, a dachshund with a heart as big as a house. He said, right at the end of the deal, I don't like that. They never understood a word he said, but they knew that his spirit was in the right place. Suddenly, Pavlov came down the garden path. He had a cat in his hand.
So if you move into the world of fantasy, which Paul can do so brilliantly, you can keep going till the whistle went and gain that extra point. Let me give you the situation as we move into the final round. Janie Godley, who hasn't played as much as others, is trailing a little in fourth place. No, she's lovely. It's a contribution that matters.
I'm really rubbish at this, but I so enjoy it. It helps me find out where my spleen is exactly inside my body.
Ah, yes, those pre-show rituals.
And then in third place is Nish Kumar, who again hasn't played it quite as much as the other two. And there's only 2 points separating the other two as we go into the final round. Marcus... Ooh! It's neck and neck. Marcus Brigstock is 2 points behind our leader, Paul Merton. And Marcus, it is your turn to begin. The subject is dominoes. Tell us something about that subject in this game starting now.
I had my bathroom tiled with dominoes and then got a double six before I could finish it. Very frustrating indeed. It is fiercely fought and gambled upon in many places. The winner, of course, gets a small chain of crappy pizza restaurants, which they then have to run...
Missed challenge.
Please do not insult dominoes in my presence, Marcus.
That wasn't...
No, I know it wasn't a challenge. I just feel very strongly about this.
You're right. I should never have used the word restaurants.
So, Nish, have you got a challenge?
No, I just like pressing the buzzer.
So that was an incorrect challenge, then. Nish, you do play it in quite a different way to anybody else. 44 seconds available for you, Marcus, having got another point on dominoes starting now.
I believe both in the West Indies and in Cuba, dominoes are played whilst consuming vast amounts of rum, which, of course, makes keeping score incredibly difficult. Only look at Nicholas to find out how challenging that can be. He's taken down nearly a quarter and a half of that delicious Jamaican spirit before this evening's recording, which is why I'm currently in second place. I should really be winning at the moment, but I don't think that I will in the end, because if I've learned one thing, it's never insult the host of Just a Minute. Dominoes is incredibly difficult if you can't count, and I have problems where that's concerned. One, and then who knows what happens after that. I never really made it any further up the thing. But I was given a box of dominoes as a gift as a child, and I used them to build a staircase for a mouse.
Paul, your light came on, so you buzz first. What is your challenge?
Well, it was a bit of a time ago. There was a...
I couldn't believe I hadn't been buzzed, but I couldn't hear one.
I have to go back to March 1997. No. I thought there was a hesitation, but I've kind of forgotten what it was now.
So have I.
Yeah.
And I tell you the situation. There's only 1 second to go.
Oh, no.
I think, in fairness, I may have hesitated, but...
No, I tell you what we're going to
do. I think so. Were you watching?
Give a point to Marcus Brigstock. Blow the whistle.
Oh!
And the reason I did that is because they've both been so good and so funny and so entertaining. I think it's very fair to say that Marcus Brigstock and Paul Merton are equal in the lead, and they are our joint winners this week. So, let me just say thank you. These four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Janie Godley, Nish Kumar and Marcus Brigstock. And we thank Kayleigh Stirling, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle with such delicacy. We are grateful to our producer, Matt Strong. We're deeply indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're really indebted to this lovely, huge audience here up at the Festival Fringe up in Edinburgh, who've cheered us on our way with such style and aplomb. Thank you, and tune in again at the same time when we play Just a Minute!
And the next time they play Just a Minute will be next week.